Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this opportunity of ministry. I know I mentioned a lot of things today, and I know there's many more things that are unmentioned. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the opportunity for Ignited Church to be here to do what we're doing. And Father, it's not for a legacy of a man or for a ministry. It's for the kingdom of God, because all this stuff is going to be burned up. But your word, your name, and what we've done for you, the souls, will be for eternity. I ask you now that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross, that you'd help me articulate this message and speak this message with power, with signs and wonders and miracles following, Father. And most of all, that people would be changed and they would be born again. We thank you for it. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, welcome. Love y'all. Appreciate this house. Appreciate everybody that's listening at different venues. We just thank the Lord for you. Let me give you the message that the Lord spoke to me in my time of meditation and prayer for this service. Here's what he spoke to me. He said, America, it is later than you think. My watchmen who watch in the night are waning. The lamp in my house has gone out, and few can see this reality. Gross darkness fills this nation as the clouds of war and uncertainty gather. Peace, peace, they cry. But I say, prepare for war. Gone are the days of innocency and mirth. Now is the time to seek me, to find me, and to lay hold of my truth. I am a shield and buckler to those who call upon my name, but to those who reject me, you will find out that my grace only reaches so far. Have you not read that my spirit will not always strive with man? You can find that in Genesis 6:3. And there is a day of recompense. For surely I will visit this nation with fierce anger, and I will turn over the tables of the money changers and thieves that occupy my house. What is coming, says the Lord, will be for the cleansing of my house and a cleansing of this land. You think this is not so, but I tell you this day, judgment begins at my house, and surely I will judge the unrighteous as well. Take it to the Lord and pray. And I promise you, he will confirm these words to you, not only in your private time of prayer, but also as you listen to other prophetic voices to whom you can trust. And I would say that very cautiously. And most of all, to be found on the Word of God. The title of the message that he gave me is called Dark 30. Dark 30. In the military, we would say Zero Dark 30 or O Dark 30 is some terminologies that were used. Dark 30 is more of a modern interpretation of the hour when it is late and it is past midnight. It is an hour when it is the darkest. It is a time after midnight and before the dawn. And as he gave me this message, Dark 30, I began to recognize and realize the hour that America is in is later than we're being told. And one example I will give you is things take place in the world and we don't find out till months, sometimes years later. With the power of the internet and the power of journalism on every continent of the earth, information is becoming faster and more readily available than ever before. It's becoming harder to keep secrets. But for the most part, there are secrets that are kept from us, and we don't recognize and realize it until later on, because that's the power of propaganda. And every nation uses propaganda. Every country uses propaganda. Every leader uses propaganda, because the fastest way to lose control is to get the truth out to the people. No matter if it's the United States of America, the United Kingdom, or any other foreign country, You must keep the people in the dark if you want to keep your power. And so dark 30 is a message that I'm going to preach to you this morning about the lateness of the hour in which we're living, the lateness in which prophetic events are taking place, the lateness in which we have not much time to do what we need to do for what we've been called to do in this hour. I feel a tremendous urgency and energy, if you will, within me by the Holy Spirit to get things done. By nature, I am a pusher. I've always been a pusher. Even when I wasn't saved, I pushed people. Come on, somebody, you were the same way. When you showed up, everybody started to do something. When you showed up, the party intensified. The music got louder, and I'm not going to do the rest of the analogy, but you understand, when you showed up, things happened, and that's always been my nature as well. But in the kingdom of God, I'm also a pusher because I believe that we can do more than what we're doing right now. I believe that. I believe that each person sitting here and those listening and those watching, you have the ability and the potential within you to do more than you're doing right now, and you just need a good Holy Ghost kick. And push, if you will, into the right direction, because you don't have the luxury of time, and I do not have the luxury of time, and our nation does not have the luxury of time. It's dark 30. It's really dark. It's darker than you realize. And we must do something great for God in these last hours. So I'm going to push this morning, as I feel the urgency to push for this 2019 that we are just now unwrapping. We're unwrapping this whole thing called a new year. We're starting to see some things about our year, and we're already watching that it's not going to be muy bueno. If you don't speak Spanish, it means it's not good. It's not going to be that good. If you have your Bible, that's a good thing to have in the church. I want you to go to Isaiah 33, unless you have already memorized the entire Bible. As you notice, I'm going to hydrate a lot today because I got some work to do. Isaiah chapter 33, we're going to talk about dark 30. Look at your neighbor and say, it's darker and later than you think. It is darker and it is later than you think. Isaiah chapter 33, let's begin in verse 1. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled. God begins to deal with the king of Assyria through the prophet Isaiah concerning his treatment of not only King Hezekiah, but of Judah and Jerusalem and Israel, if you will, in the total sum of God's possession. And one thing you and I must establish right now in our walk with God and the prophetic reality of the time that we live in is God will only allow the devil to go so far and to go so long before he deals with him according to his word. And I want you to know something this morning, that I am anointed and I am energized with the reality of my future and your future and the prophetic according to the scriptures of God, because I recognize and realize in the word of God that God is going to stand for the church, and God is going to provide for the church, and God is going to make a way for you and I in these last days. Come hell or high water. Come the power of the Antichrist and the beast system and all these things that God said would transpire and take place in the last days. They surely will, but my God will be there as a shield and a buckler. My God will be there as your high tower. My God will be there where you can go into the cleft of the rock, and he will make a way for you when there seems to be no way. There is no doubt in my mind. And he's positioning this church and remnant churches and people who are called by the name of the Lord throughout the earth. He's positioning them and getting them ready for the battle that is coming. I warned you, and I tell you again, be careful of the prophecies that make you hide. Be careful of the prophecies that make you fearful. Be careful the prophecies that do not give you hope and do not give you a strategy and do not give you a blueprint that is found in the Word of God, because our God changes not. He never changes. It's impossible for Him to change. And what He said in His Word, He will perform. Better than that, He said He'll watch over it. He'll be like a spy. He'll watch over that Word to perform it inside you and I and around us and throughout our lives. So I don't have any fear about what's coming. I don't like it, as I've told you in the past. I'm not excited about the days that are before me to watch people in the valley of decision and to see people lose their lives and all the tragedy and chaos and crisis that's coming to the nations of the earth. But I do know this, that God has saved the best for last, and that is you and I. And God is going to use us in this last days, and we must get our back like a T-rail and stand up straight and say, if my God be for me, who could ever be against me? I'm not planning just for judgment. I'm planning for harvest. I'm not just planning for doom and gloom. I'm planning for the prosperity of my God to empower me to establish His covenant throughout the world. I'm not talking about silver and gold and money. Whatever the power of exchange is on the earth, that's fine. I'll have it. You know why? Because I have the exchange system of heaven, and it's called faith. If air time and anything we needed had to be bought with chickens, you better get ready for chickens to be in your backyard. Your God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches in glory. It doesn't just stop right at the end times. I get tired of all the prophetic things that are said that make our God look like He is going to hide out behind the thick darkness of the cloud of His presence and not do anything for His children. Our God will be right in the middle of the combat and right in the middle of the warfare. And that is why He's been giving us words to prophesy of the coming judgment in the coming days, so that we would stand to know that our God is for us and know that our God is with us. Because I'm telling you, you're going to need a backbone in the coming days. Verse 1, woe to thee that spoilest, and thou would not spoil. In other words, you spoiled and you caused destruction and you destroyed the king of Assyria. You did these things when nobody else came against you. It's called a bully. And I have a message for America today that we're in deep trouble with God because we are the Assyrian in the sense and the attitude of destruction. And the sense and the attitude of this system that has been designed not to bless the people but to take from the people, to bring us into bondage. I've made an announcement several weeks ago, and I stick with it and I stand on it. The beast system isn't coming. The beast system is here now. We're not headed into Babylon necessarily. We're already in the city limits, and we're watching it take place. And God speaks to us here through Isaiah and says to the king of Assyria, who was a spoiler, that you went after people who meant no harm. You went after people who did not try to spoil. You tried to go after and harm and hurt and rape those that were in innocency and those that were in peace. It's happening right now in America. It's happening around the world, but I will hold till I get there. And they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. Earlier he said that you dealt treacherously with them. You dealt hard with them, and they didn't do anything to you. You see, America is a global empire that seeks to have dominion around the world. And though this is hard for us to understand and to conceive in our mind, but the reality is that we are operating under that system of dominion that wants to dictate to all nations of the earth how measurements of money, oil, and power and military will be determined and operation. It was never that way in this country. We were a country that liberated people. But now we have changed over the years to where we've come to be conquerors. And we change countries to fit the standard of the enterprise of our nation. Imperialistic. Who would ever think, after we destroyed Japan and all the other regimes of the world, that we would turn to such tactics? But because I don't have much time to give a history lesson, I trust that you've listened to this ministry over the years and you recognize and realize and you are wide awake to the fact that we are not what we used to be in the golden days. We are now a nation that is desperate to turn over other nations who do not operate according to our financial systems because they threaten the national security and the sovereignty of our country. I promise you we would be a whole lot better if we did not put our noses in places we did not belong in foreign theaters of the world, in which I will be more clear momentarily. But this prophetic view that Isaiah saw and God gave to me for this church, for the nation, and anybody that will listen, is that we are like the Assyrians. We are like this king who wanted to dictate to those who were trying to live at peace what they and their kingdom wanted. And it's going to cost them. Continue to look at verse 1. As he says, woe to them. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, then thou shalt treacherously be dealt with. So he says, when you finally ate up everything that you possibly could eat up, as you've conquered all that you possibly could conquer, and when you think you have reached the pinnacle of success to whatever that means in your mind, then will come sudden destruction. Then the enemy will come, and then I will stand up and I will fight for my people. The picture that I'm painting for you today prophetically is America is coming to the end of the road of dominance. That America has circumnavigated the world by placing its imperialistic thoughts and the mindset of a beast system to so many nations of the world that the world has grown tired of America. I do not know where you get your news. Maybe you read it upside down in a post hole. I do not know. Maybe you live in a cave and that's where they pump it in via the newspaper. But if you're awake and have a pulse and have any sense of critical thinking left within you, you would recognize and realize the fact is that we have gone to the nations of the earth and we have stirred up the beasts, we have stirred up the bear, we have stirred up the lions, we have stirred up all of these different nations to the point where they are tired of America. Can I tell you what I just told you is prophecy in the Bible? People will misinterpret and get mad at me and say, I'm anti this and I'm anti that. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just reading you the headlines and matching them with the Bible. There will come a time when the nations of the earth will rise up against one another. There'll come a time when they'll seek to destroy the beast. There'll come a time when Babylon will be destroyed, and we are nearing that time. We are definitely right in the beginning of its development to maturity. And so he says to them in verse 2, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou our arm, and be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. Finally, somebody gets some sense right in the midst of warfare. I believe that is what we're to be doing today, is asking God to be our arm of strength in the time of trouble. I believe we're to be asking God, God, to provide and protect for us, with us and for us and around us for all this craziness that is taking place in our nation. I believe it's time now that the church begins to repent and call upon God and say, God, forgive us for the sins of our nations. Forgive us for the sin of abortion and homosexuality and lesbianism. Forgive us for pedophilia and the craziness in our schools and the doctrines of devils in our churches and all the abuse that is taking place from the Catholic Church to the Southern Baptist Church. Some people thought, well, I was hoping he would bypass that and not talk on that issue, y'all. Second largest denomination, second largest church to the Catholic Church, is embroiled in a tremendous sex abuse scandal here in America. And most Christians don't even know that. And those that are listening to me right now probably are shocked. But it's a fact. Pastors and pastors and pastors numbered into the hundreds have been investigated over the past 15, maybe 20 years. While nobody wants to talk about it, nobody wants to say anything about it, we just want to cover it up and say, well, it's those Catholics over there, or this, it's those Pentecostal guys, you know, it's these persons and those persons, and it's not me. When the reality is, it's happening all around us. We don't want to talk about it. We want to sweep it under the rug. But here in verse 2, there was a remnant, there was a group of people that said, God, be our arm and our strength in the time of trouble. And I'm believing and I'm asking and I'm declaring and decreeing that we would stand up and intercede, not for a nation to be repaired, but for a people to be born again, for there to be a harvest, for there to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God, for people to have their eyes open to the revelational knowledge of the Word of God, for people to get out of these churches where these predators are. And quit trusting people so blindly. Do I have a witness anywhere? Sending our children and sending our loved ones to these places unguarded, trusting people. You say, well, that sounds critical. No, that sounds strategic. That sounds like wisdom. That sounds like using your brain and your head instead of a hat rack. And do the right thing. I'm feeling good this morning. I told you I hydrated a little bit so I can get me some Gatorade and finish this thing up. Oh, Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Lord, we've waited for you. We waited for you with expectation, not with hoping you'll get us out of here, but expectation, oh God, that you're going to be our arm of strength. Oh God, that you're going to help us win this last generation to Jesus Christ. Oh God, we believe that you would keep us sheltered and protected as the fire and the flames and the craziness and the chaos of the last days ensues. We speak, God, that you will surround about us as a shield and a buckler in a time of need. I'm telling you, the call of a warrior is rising up in the church of Jesus Christ. The call of a soldier is being risen up to the body of Christ. It's time to not be a weekend warrior and a weekend visitor, but to be on call and on duty 24/7, 365, ready to do the will of God. You say, preacher, what is that? And that is to pray, to intercede, to speak the word of the Lord, to get into situations where people don't want you to and stand up and say, let me give you the reason for my hope. This is why we're doing this campaign, if you will, with these postcards trying to evangelize our city and our state and the nation and anywhere else we can, trying to get people not directed to build a ministry, but directed to the Word of God, to be directed where they'll find a preacher and a church that will tell them the truth, that will warn them, that will arm them, that will raise them up, and will call them into full-time duty. You've lost your mind if you think one man can do this. You've lost your mind if God has delegated it to one church. It's a body of Jesus Christ. It's a church of Jesus Christ. All across the fruited plains of this nation, we're going to see people rise up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not this easy peasy type of gospel. But the gospel of love and the gospel of power and the gospel that speaks of the kingdom of God that suffereth violence, and violent men take it by force. Instead of these pansies we have in pulpits today. Sissified, girly man, menly girls. Whatever you want to call them, you know it's the truth. Weak-kneed and spaghetti-spined. Afraid to tell the truth. You say, Pastor, well, we're supposed to walk in love. And we, you know, I get so tired of hearing that. Love is strong. Love doesn't whisper when the bridge is out. Love doesn't whisper when you're headed toward a wall and you have no brakes. Love gets aggressive, and love is strong, and love endures, and love covers a multitude of sins. And we need love in the church today, where we stand up and pull off this political mask of correctness, and we say, in the name of Jesus, you're headed towards a wall, honey. You're headed towards a cliff, honey. You're headed overboard, honey. I love you, but I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. Oh, that's too harsh, Pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This nation is on fire. Life is on fire. Things are happening in a crazy, rapid, accelerated fashion, not only in America, not only in the politics, but in the nations of the world. And we have to become aggressive in these last days, aggressive in love and aggressive in fortitude and boldness and power. Come on, aggressive in mercy, aggressive in giving, aggressive in intercessory prayer. And being there as we're supposed to on the front lines. I'm loving this. I'm feeling really good. You may be nervous, but the Holy Ghost ain't nervous. Because the problem with America and the church in general is we have been in parade mode. We've been in parade mode in our dress outfits and uniforms, looking the best, and everything's been shined and polished, and we look so glittery and so fashionable as we parade up and down Fifth Avenue and all the other places of notoriety and popular scenes. And as we're parading, the world has been gone into combat. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but things in our nation have grown more aggressive coming concerning murders and craziness and opiums and all kinds of destructive things in our country. It has increased. Just the other day, not too far in another state, a woman took her 3-year-old children, went to the property of her mother's home, pulled out a hunting rifle and shot all 3 in the head, piled them back into the car, drove to her home and shot herself as well. And you have the audacity to tell me that everything is great in America and everything is fine in this nation and that we're turning the curve and turning the corner and we're fine in our mentality. No, we have gone insane in America. Not only with killing babies at birth, but killing babies after birth. Insanity. And that is just one of the many things that I could bring out this morning about the insanity of our country. It is dark 30 in America. And people want to sleep in the night, and well, that doesn't bother me, preacher, because it has nothing to do with my child. Well, preacher, it doesn't have anything to do with my church. It is collectively our problem, and we will collectively go through judgment, and we will collectively see the hand of God upon our nation. You better pray now.
You better pray now and say, God, have mercy on us, and God, be the strength of our lives, and God, I want to be found working in this very hour. I don't want to be asleep in the field somewhere. I don't want to be in a trench or a bunker asleep. I want to be with my bayonet ready with the truth of the word of God. I want to be ready because I prayed up and stayed up. I want to be ready because I'm an intercessor. I want to be ready because I'm lean and trim, and I'm a mean praying machine, because you've anointed me to do what I need to do in this last hours. Calling all warriors, calling all warriors, calling all remnants, stand up and declare that I am the one that God will use in these last days. I will not sit down and shut up while this world goes to hell. I'm going to say something. I'm not afraid of any of you this morning. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of anybody right now. I honor my God and I fear him today, but I am giving you a clarion call and a marching order from heaven that it is time for us to do something great for God. It is time for us to do something awesome for him. He's raising us up. He's given us everything that we need to succeed in winning the last generation. You say, oh my God, what did I get into this morning? What you got into this morning is God's army. What you got into is a clarion call from heaven to march and move and go forward and do something. Because I promise you right now, you can scan across the television stations and the radio stations, and very few will be saying what I'm saying. And that is not attention towards me. That is a sad indictment of the American church and a sad indictment of preachers today that can't stir their people up and tell them, go out and do the work of evangelists. Stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't need no microphone, slick-haired, shiny shoes, and a Bible. Use what God put inside of your heart. And if all you know is John 3:16, then scream it as loud as you possibly can and get it put on a t-shirt and declare the love of God. We've got to do this thing together. We've got to preach this gospel to the nations of the earth. It's not just jail ministry or manna ministry or some other type of ministry. It is the ministry of reconciliation. Do the work of an evangelist. Oh, I wish I had someone help me in this Presbyterian cemetery. It's the truth. Drinking too much city water in this house. Need to get you all back on well water. Amen, talking about that living water. Talking about that well that never runs dry. We got to stop drinking the Kool-Aid that's been given to us through the beast system. We got to stop being indoctrinated through these crazies that are on television today that pose as Christians but are really charlatans and witches and warlocks trying to deceive you and weave into your mind a false dream of utopia. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I prophesy to you and been prophesying to you, it is not going to happen here in this nation. This nation has been earmarked for judgment. And you can deny it till the cows come home. You're never going to change it. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I'm reading the Bible. We're at the point of no return. There are certain things prophetically that are in the Bible you cannot change. And the problem with the American church is we have this hope so mentality. Hope so is not a strategy. Hope so is not fact. And hope so is not faith. It's make believe. Yeah. Come on now. Some of y'all been hoping so your neighbor next to you would change. Now look at them. Have they changed? Let me move on. Somebody scream real loud. Verse 3. Watch this. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. After lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. Isaiah begins to describe the very conditions in which the enemies of God will begin to scatter. Isaiah begins to see prophetically through that window of what would happen and how it would take place. And if you understand the Hebrew and you look into it a little deeper, you'll see that it's speaking of the thunderings of God. Isaiah 29:6. And other places you can find this truth.
and description of God. Revelation 1:15 talks about his words, his voice were like the sounds of many waters. We have a candy-coated type of Jesus here in the American church. He's the plastic baby in the manger. He's a limp-wristed looking shepherd with dove eyes carrying that little sheep who looks anemic and weak. And you know I'm telling you the truth. We've painted a picture of Jesus to be one that is not all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present. My Bible and your Bible declares that even historically he might have walked as a shepherd in that day, but prophetically he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with his eyes full of fire and a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Riding upon that stallion, that white horse, he's coming. And he's coming back not as that shepherd alone, but as the deliverer and as the judge and the Lord of all the nations of the earth. He's coming back in great strength and great power. And he's coming back in the power of that storm. Folks, what that means to you and me is this, that we will be in that storm when he arrives. We will be in that place of tumult. We will be in that place of shaking according to the last days as God destroys his enemies. When God restores the nations of the earth according to the divine revelation of the millennial reign of God, he will set everything in order as he weighs it in the balance of truth. And he uses his rod of iron. I have to overlay that with this message this morning because we're going to be in the midst of it. We're going to be there, and one day we will rule as priests and kings with him. Until then, we take our rightful position and we fight from the position not of sticks and stones and bombs and bullets, but from the position of intercessory. We from the position of prayer, from the position of crying out and saying, God, I may not have the armaments of this world, but what I have is not flesh and blood, but it's the power of God to pull down principalities. It's the power of God to see people set free. I'm talking about spiritual power. You've got more power in your little pinky when you're anointed of God than all the armaments of every military of the world. You better believe that. Are you all still with me? Because this is my introduction. I'm feeling good. Verse 4. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar. Everybody say locust as well. As the running to and fro of locusts shall be run upon them. What is he talking about? God speaks through Isaiah, and he's telling the king of Assyria, he's telling that spirit of Antichrist, we are going to deal with you, and you will one day lose your spoil. We're telling you that one day that the kingdoms of the world will be turned over to the kingdoms of our God. That all of these things that we're doing in the nations of the world, when we're trying to topple leaders and put in puppet leaders, we're trying to build a system of security for the beast system of the last days. We're doing everything we can to secure that future. But God says there's coming an end to your plans. There's coming an end to your spoils. There's coming an end to your destroying. There's coming an end to your thievery. There's coming an end to your destruction and everything that you're doing ungodly. Let me tell you what that means for you and I. You better get your hands out of the system. You better get your heart and your mind out of the system. And I will show you where God speaks of that specifically if I am able to do so by the end of this message. But you can read the entire book of Isaiah chapter 33 and you will see that God is wanting us to get ourselves disconnected from Babylon and from this system. You say, how do you do that? I'm going to show it to you momentarily. Tell your neighbor to hang on and hang loose. Verse 5. the Lord is exalted. Everybody say he's exalted. I don't care what you think about him right now. He's exalted. You may think he's that little plastic baby in the manger. He's exalted. You may think he's unable to do anything. He's not ever present help. He is exalted. You may think, Mr. Pope, that the cross of Jesus Christ was a failure. Mister, let me tell you something. That is the whole total sum of our salvation. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God for the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, for that is the remissions of my sins. And that empty tomb is the promise that he is the exalted Lord. There is no doubt about it. I'm excited. It's going to get more wild in this house, y'all. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. Where does he dwell? He dwells on high. He don't dwell no small little place. Now y'all in trouble. Jacket's off. Somebody go get me my running shoes. It's just hot up in this place. Somebody needs to fix this weather. Somebody needs to pray to God to help us with this weather. I went out there to check on the chickens, and they had on scuba tanks. Somebody actually believe that. They'll write me and say, mine did too. Verse 5. Now I got you laughing. Verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high, for he has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. He said, I filled it. I filled it up. There are naysayers and there are people saying that God's not going to judge America. God is judging America, by the way, in case you haven't read the headlines. In case you had your head where the sun don't shine, he is dealing with this nation. No matter what is being parroted, no matter what is being said from Washington and other places of power, the reality is America is being judged, and we have yet to see the severity of God, because that comes as you watch Israel. And there are those watching me that are anti-Israel. Well, you are anti-God and you don't know the Bible. I never told you that Israel was perfect. God is going to deal with Israel. Don't worry about it. He will. He already promised it. He already prophesied it. But it makes no difference. That is his land, and everybody will tremble at that land. And everybody that tries to move that land is going to get a strained back. You can read Zechariah and other places to find out. If you want a hernia, go ahead and mess with Israel. The proof is there. You can get mad all day long. That's up to you. Watch this. Verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Watch this, verse 6, one more time. And wisdom, the word wisdom means skill in war. Study the Bible. It could be translated that God will give you skill at war. One of the things David prayed, that he would be able to bend a bow of steel, that David would be able to understand the weaponry, and he knew that it was not just the arrow. He knew it was not just the spear or the knife. He understood it was the power of intercession and the power of prayer and the power of worshiping God and the beauty of holiness. We need to have skill at war. We're not skillful in America because we are marshmallows and potato people. We're people of just laying around and so full of comfort, and we don't want a preacher to get shaken up and getting radical. You're ruining my bedtime, Pastor. You're ruining my nap time. You're ruining my thoughts of what I wanted to do next week, and how I wanted to party, and how I wanted to play, and how I wanted to go buy stuff and do what I want to do. Honey, I'm just telling you, you better get some skill at war. And that comes from wisdom from God. That comes from getting inside of that Bible and finding how to fight for your family and get some serious survival strategies for your family. How do I pray, God? What shall I pray, God? What shall I say, God? Where shall I go, Lord? Who should I evangelize? Lord, what should I do? Who should I connect with? Who should I be in relationship with? God, give me strategies and give me skills of war.
We don't give you seals of war at church. We give you warm milk and a cookie so you can relax on your flight to eternity. You know it's the truth. Preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher. I don't even know what they're preaching, but they get up there and they're preaching some type of marshmallow ministry fluff. Everybody walking around like Wally. Remember that? Some of you don't even know the movie Wally. You need to go rent it. Just getting bigger and getting bigger. How's that look on camera? Getting bigger. And somebody says he needs a girdle. Bigger and bigger and pushing buttons and everything's automatic. Pastor, pray for me. Beep. Pastor, I'm going through some trouble. Talk to my family. Beep. Need deliverance? Press 2. Beep, beep. It's in the church. You know it's the truth. Everything's digitalized. Let the pastor do it. And no wonder pastors want to quit every single Monday because they're tired of carrying monkeys on their back. They're tired of carrying people all around. Well, pastor, get a backbone and throw them monkeys off your back and say, this is how it's going to be. And I'm going to preach the B-I-B-L-E. I'm preaching the word of God. And this is what we're going to do in this house. You want to go to Pastor Fluffy's house? Go on down the road. If you can waddle that far without getting chaffed. Some of y'all need a day to hear what I just said. He's insulted me. No, get you some cornstarch and start walking now. You'll be okay, Chaffy. See, my people have been around me a long time. They're like, that's right, man. I'm telling the truth. Other folk would be all, did he just say I'm Chaffy? Yeah, you're Chaffy. You may make it a little further in the winter, but come summertime, honey, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm just telling you, this is the condition of the church. We are so messed up. And he said in Isaiah, I'm going to give you skill for war. Let me tell you something. I love everybody in this church, and I ain't naming nobody, and I'm looking at the ceiling. But there's some folk I don't know if I want to be in combat with. I don't know if I want Gomer Pyle next to me. I don't know if I want to get shot there. I don't know if I want somebody to jump up and say, we're over here. Marco Polo, hide and seek. It's the truth. They'll think they're doing God a favor. God doesn't want us out down here. God wants us to expose ourselves. You be the first one out. Come on, church, hear me. I'm trying to lighten this thing up, but it's the truth. We need some warriors. We need some people with a backbone. We need people to pray and to intercede and to ask God to have mercy in the midst of judgment and forget about trying to change this government and change all this stuff. We need to change souls. We need to change our teachers and our preachers and our law enforcement and everybody around us, our neighbors. We need to pray for salvation. I'm so tired of this whole Trump thing, this whole ideal of politics in America and in the church. It's been a plan of the devil to bring deception and distraction. And God told me this morning it's time to refocus. Focus on the truth. Focus on the word. Focus on where we're headed. Focus on the word of Jesus Christ and the world. Because everything else will take care of itself. These kingdoms will fall. And they'll become prey. It's been prophesied. But the problem is you don't understand the Bible and you don't understand prophecy and you don't understand where we are. So you follow anybody that tells you what you want to hear. Shall we take a break? Come back. And wisdom. Somebody says, really? Yeah, I was in a church one time. They had all kinds of ministry activity, and they stopped and took a praise break for 30 minutes. How about fell out of the chair? I wanted to go back and get my offering out of the bucket. A 30-minute break so you can go get coffee and fellowship before the ministry. I've never heard such a thing. But watch this. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of the times. What did he say? Skill at war. Not being peaceable with everybody, not being conformed to everybody, not being politically correct with everybody, not going the same way as everybody, but having skill at war and knowledge. It will be the stability of thy times. You want to know what that word is in the Hebrew? It means discernment. Got some writing projects I'm going to do concerning discernment that I need to release to the body of Christ, because we don't have discernment in the church. We're all based on flesh and what we see. We're based on colors and shapes and patterns. Yes, we are, because we look at flesh and we accept for what is there and being enamored by what we see. But the depth of the Spirit sees within them in their heart, and He knows what is inside of man. I can't wait to release that when it is the proper time. But are you still in chapter 33, verse 6? And wisdom and knowledge, so skill at war and knowledge, meaning discernment, shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of thy salvation. And the fear of the Lord is his treasure. There's so much right there, I can preach a whole nother hour. Right there. You say, how are you stable in this hour, preacher? Because I've got skill at war and I've got discernment. I'm not talking about boxes and boxes of bullets and craziness that people have in their mindset. I'm talking about the skill of praying, the skill of keeping my body under subjection and keeping it away from the flesh and the temptations of the devil to try to draw me and my family into destruction, to draw me as a man into the abyss, into the pit, into the place of all kinds of unrighteousness. God has a plan to keep you holy if you'll let Him. I didn't say perfect. I'm far from perfect. But I know my heart is perfect after God, that I love Him with all of my soul, all of my spirit, all of my mind and my body. And if the devil tries to come around and tempt and test me, I laugh at him and say, honey, I ain't going back to where I used to be. I ain't going back to what I used to do. You've lost your mind. But oh, yeah, he did. He did lose his mind. Reading all kinds of news reports of superstars and studs and duds falling into sin. It's all over the news. You name it. They're out there falling. Falling because they won't stand up for righteousness. I'm not telling you if you fall, you can't get up. You sure can. You could be restored and redeemed right now. You could be brought back to the place where God wants you to be. But I'm talking about those people who fool around and think God don't see it, and then stand up and act self-righteous. God will judge you. God will deal with you accordingly. If your wife or your husband don't find out first. Watch this. Behold, the valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of the peace shall weep bitterly. The highway is lied waste, and the warfaring man ceaseth. And he has broken the covenant, and he hath despised the city. He regardeth no man. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. And then he says, now I will arise. I believe there's coming a rising of God in the body of Christ, and it's happening right now with messages such as mine. And I am not the only one. But there's a rising up of the body of Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords knows the hour of the final harvest. He's rising us up so that we would do something great for Him in these last days. And let me reiterate, doing something great does not mean standing up before people with a microphone. Doing something great is what God tells you to do. That's great in His eyes. Don't be mistaken by the devil and lied to by preachers telling you you have to do this or do that to be measured as greatness with God. No, God looks at even the weakest and the smallest. He looks at the very grain and the very seed, if you will, of a mustard. And He says that has great faith. I'm encouraging everybody watching me right now, do something for God. I don't care what it is. Maybe you are homebound. We'll do like one of our great friends does over in Iowa that continuously emails and sends out information about this ministry and other ministries. Probably one of the best evangelists I know.
You think I'm just catering. You think I'm just playing. I'm telling you the truth. Those are the kind of people, according to the Bible, that will be honored in heaven. Those are the kind of people that are going to sit closer to Jesus than some of you preachers, including moi. I love unsung heroes, by the way. I love those. I love praying mamas and praying grandmothers, praying fathers and grandpas and people who just pray and love and do all they possibly can. Those are the ones I believe will get a greater reward. I'm calling you to rise up and do more than you've ever done before. Do something for God. You don't have much time. You say, well, Pastor, I feel like I'm healthy and I got all kinds of years ago. I'm not talking about your physical age and your physical life and your health. I'm talking about the time that's left on the clock. And I'm talking about the reality that no man is promised tomorrow. So whatever you're going to do, do now. Quit laying around on your youth thinking that I've got time. You don't have time. You do not know your day of departure. You do not know the day of the total visitation of God when things will be harder than they are right now. Just ask the church of Venezuela. It's a little harder to do things now. Costs a lot more now than it would have been then had we prepared, had they been ready, and so on and so forth. Pray for Venezuela, by the way. You pray for this nation to do the right thing. I'm telling you, we are putting our noses where they do not belong. And I'm not going to fight you via email and all the stuff that's out there, all this propaganda, everything that's sent out to make you think or this or think that. I'm just telling you, like the Assyrians who spoiled, who acted treacherously, who went against people who did not pose a threat to them, they found themselves, the Assyrians, on the wrong side of God. All of these things, these global events, are all coming together to give God reason for America to be invaded. You better write that down and remember that. These are reasons. You can get on any side of it you want to. You can get on the president's side. You can get on this guy's side. I don't care what side you get on. I'm telling you from the biblical, prophetic perspective of God, what we do to other nations that is unrighteous, God will deal with us. And if you don't understand anything about gold and don't understand anything about oil and China and Russia, then all of what I just said went over your mind and over your head and you got offended. But if you're awake, you know what I'm talking about. I don't have time to read the statistics. I wish I did. I will try just to give you a brief little information. You got about 30 more minutes? That was three of you. The rest of y'all can go. Listen to this. Let me just try to get this into your brain and into your spirit. So next time you watch your little favorite program that gives you the news, they're all fake news, y'all. They're all operating under the power of propaganda. They're all operating under the corporation power of propaganda. It's all there. I don't have time to go through this whole thing, but you can look this up, that right now, America is all around the world in different positions in combat and terrorism training. Over 80 nations right now, we have boots on the ground. And we've used it all under the cloak of 9/11. The military industrial complex is alive and well and has been alive and well for many years. Regardless of who stands up in the position of president, they must bow to the deep state and they must bow to this military complex. They must bow to the spirit of Antichrist. And that is a fact. History has proven it. No matter the campaign promises, no matter those things, they must obey. They can try to get some of their truths in, but in reality, this is the truth. 80 countries right now, 40 nations where there's U.S. military bases that are used for combat purposes. It goes on and on. I don't have time to read it, but it's happening right now. You say, why does that matter? Because we are America. We're number one. We're first, and we should do these things. There's a bunch of bad guys out there. Truth of the matter is we made up the boogeyman. The truth of the matter is we put them in power. The truth of the matter is we gave them armaments and technology just so we can go back and fight. To put our boots on the ground so we can get more of the natural resources, including opium. And I repeat some of this stuff because we have new people all the time that are part of this ministry. But this nation is not what it was back in yesteryear. And what I'm telling you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I have no dog in the fight. I'm not running for office. I have no intentions other than to be prophetic and not political. This is the reality of our country, that we are like the Assyrians, that we are coming against people of righteousness. We're coming against the concept of peace and tranquility. We're coming against the very commandments of God. We're coming against the very nature of Jesus, who we say that we support in America. And we're doing the opposite of what he would do. The Prince of Peace, and we are the Prince of War. But it will come back to our nation. It will come back like a boomerang. That's just the devil. He's scared. Don't worry about it. It will come back. Somebody said, what was that? That's the wind blowing outside. That's just a couple demons losing some wings as them angels slayed them with the fiery sword of God. You better get ready for stuff like that in your home when the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy. And stand up on your front porch and say, get out of here, you crooked-nosed, wart-infested devil, you. Instead of calling the pastor, I may not answer. I may look down and say, mm-mm, sugar bug, this is yours. You got this one. But it's Goliath, pastor. You're on your own. Are you here? Let me finish up, lest you get bored with me. The reality is that we're in trouble as a nation. We're going to war in various places, and our enemies are getting tired of us. Just please listen to what our adversaries are saying. Please stop listening to the loudest person in Washington and listen to the other voices that have bombs and bullets too. You need to listen to what Russia is saying to America. You put your bombs and your missiles in Europe, and we will turn our supersonic missiles towards your nation, and you couldn't stop them by the time you push your little button. I've told you of the dead hand system that they have over in Russia and all these things. I'm not saying this to make anybody look big. All I'm trying to tell you is if you were David and we're fixing to go out and fight Goliath, I'm going to give you a little bit of description of what Goliath looks like. And that is our Goliath. And we're messing in different countries, including Venezuela, and on we're doing these things, and our enemies are getting tired of our country. I just learned through a news report that Iran was able successfully to capture 7 to 8 of our Predator drones, pull off the information from it by hacking it, and then crashing it into the desert as the United States Air Force went ahead and shot it on the ground, lest they take the technology inside its compartments. But we're untouchable, remember? We are the big bad bully. We are the ones that are able to stand against any nation of the earth. And we have a country called Persia. Better study your Bible and study the end times. We have a country of Iran that could stop the technology of this great giant Goliath. I've told this church and those that would listen to me many years ago that we were vulnerable, that there were holes in our armor, that there were holes in our technology. I even told you there are holes in our missile system of defending us in America. You say, Pastor, why are you saying all this? It sounds like the message is mixed. It is mixed. It's mixed with great hope and strategy, but it's also mixed with cold, hard reality of where we are. We're at dark 30. You can party outside and get a suntan all you want and run through the dandelions and tulips and just, oh, this is just a wonderful life. But you better look up and see the clouds of war gathering over our nation. Let me read to you my final scripture, and I will have the ushers unlock the doors, and you may run. Verse 17. Then thy eyes. No, I want to take you back to verse 14. Watch this. You can read 17 on your own. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Boy, that'll preach. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously, he that speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from the holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Did I not just preach that to you this whole time? Those that walk uprightly before God, we are the ones that will be fearless in the last days. We are the ones that will behold these things on our enemies. And when we see them, we do not rejoice with glee. We just recognize and realize that our God is God Almighty, and His word has prevailed like He said it would. And finally, in verse 16, and He shall dwell on high. Say, where do you live, preacher? Where are you going to live when all hell comes? I'm going to live on high. What's your address? On high. Where were you when the Mississippi spilled over and flooded? Where were you when the New Madridian fault line busted open? Where were you when all this calamity took place? On high. Don't make me sing Rocky Mountain High, because I will show John Denver how to sing that. Watch this. And he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Don't need your sticks and stones. I don't need your bullets. I got the Rock of Ages. And bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be sure. Can you see that with me, church? God's going to take care of us. Those that are listening right now, maybe it's the first time you've heard me. You don't understand the totality of what I said. I'm just telling you that no matter what you're going through, your God is for you. And if God be for you, who could ever be against you? You may be going through sickness, disease, malady, or malfunction. You could be going through divorce, separation. It does not matter what's happening with you right now. Greater is He that is available for you if you receive Him into your heart right now. If you're a sinner, you can be saved right now by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is ask Him into your heart and ask Him to forgive you, and He will restore you and hook up with a good church, and they'll teach you the Bible truths and lead you into a greater life with Christ. I pray for you, church, right now, that you would rise up. You would be that remnant, that you would be the warriors, the soldiers who endure hardness, that go forward into this last day harvest preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, empower us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody, I love you. I appreciate you guys. We will see you Wednesday.